And on that, so tonight we are in Isaiah 43, if you want to turn your Bibles as we're walking our way through the book of Isaiah. Oh, what, 17 months now we've been in Isaiah? It's been a blessed book. And we're just past halfway. But here in chapter 43, God shares a great promise with His people. And since we are His people, we can apply this to our lives as well. So here in Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." So I've entitled tonight's message, "Thou Art Mine." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we go to your word tonight, we pray you'll use it in our lives to teach us, to grow us. Whatever the needs might be, we pray the Holy Spirit would meet those needs with the powerful word of God. It's a blessing to assemble on a Sunday evening and fellowship and praise you and give testimonies, Lord. And we just pray now as we open our hearts, may you speak to every heart, and may we leave changed through your power and saying, "Truly it was good to be in the house of the Lord." We love you so much. We'll give you this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's always a blessing in Isaiah, as we've seen, to see these little nuggets embedded in all the chastisement, all the warnings that we've seen over the past 42 chapters. Every now and then, God just sets aside a little time and reminds them that they are still His people, that He hasn't forsaken them, that He's not finished with them. They've still got some fires to go through, but in the end, they will be blessed. Remember when we did the prophecy study, we walked through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation and saw over and over again God's repeated promise that yes, they one day will get their land. Yes, they will get their kingdom. Yes, they will get all the promises that were promised to them. It's just not yet. But again, as we think about this passage tonight, here in verse 1, God said, "Fear not, for I've redeemed thee." We can say the same thing. We've been redeemed by God through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He says there at the end of the verse, "Thou art mine." Remember, God chose Israel. God chose to create a new nation through Abraham and then to give many great unconditional promises to him and to his descendants. And of course, through Jesus Christ, we are His descendants. And those promises of Genesis 12 and others flow right through Jesus Christ to those who trust Him. But if you would look at Zechariah 13, God reminds them that, again, they will go through the fire. They will still face more chastisement. It's been about 3,000 years now since Solomon's glorious reign. But not long after that, the kingdom was divided and they fought among themselves. And then a couple of centuries after that, they were all taken captive and have been scattered in the wind ever since. Notice in Zechariah chapter 13, look at verse 9, the Bible says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Now we understand this is specifically referring to the tribulation period, which is yet to come. But they're still going to go through the fire. They're still going to be tried, as He says. They're still going to be refined. They're still going to be tried as gold is tried. But they never will stop being His people. And He's reminding them here in Isaiah, "Thou art mine." God chose Israel. God created Israel, essentially. And He chose them to be His special people. But you know what? God chose us too. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. And look at the New Testament equivalent of this great truth. 2 Timothy 2:19. If you're born again tonight, God chose you. I'm not preaching on predestination because I don't want to go there. But if you're one of God's children, He chose you. Notice 2 Timothy 2:19. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The Lord knoweth them that are His. Now Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I shall never cast out. I will in no wise cast out." And He told us in John 10 that He gives unto His sheep eternal life. And He says, "I know them and they follow me." God knows us. God knows us personally. And God says to us as well, "Thou art mine." We are His children. The day we were born again, we became a child of God. Which is the most amazing truth. That God would allow sinners to become part of His family. But He did. The Bible says, "As many as received Him, to them may have the power to become the sons of God." That's us. So God says to us as well, He says to His special nation Israel, "Thou art mine." And He reminds them, go back to our passage, Isaiah 40 through 43, that as His children, they're going to go through fires, they're going to go through trials, but God is always with them as a nation. And we can take that on board personally. And remember, as we've been talking the past 6 weeks on Sunday morning, we're going to go through trials. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, Psalm 34:19. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We're going to go through many trials, some of them more intense than others. Sometimes God allows Christians to go through trials so intense that the end is death. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read the end of Hebrews 11. But God says, no matter what, He'll be with us. Verse 2 of Isaiah 43. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." God here is specifically referring to Israel as a nation, as one. Because individuals, obviously, some will die. And some Christians will die. But as a whole, we as the body of Christ, as the children of God, we're safe and secure in Christ. And no matter what kind of river or fire or trial is going to come our way, God is with us. And God will protect us. Now, the New Testament equivalent of this truth is found in Luke 21, if you want to turn there. Luke chapter 21 and verse 12. God reminding us that we are safe and secure in His hands as His children, as Jesus said. That we are safe and secure in His hand. He says, "I and my Father are one. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." But notice here in Luke 21, verse 12, the Bible says, "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And they shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom that all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in the Judea flee into the mountains," and so forth. But even here, he's talking to New Testament Christians, and he says, some will even be put to death, but God's with you. And He's telling Israel, you're going to go through the fire. You're going to go through rivers. You're going to go through a lot of intense persecution and trials, just as Christians will, but He is with us because we are His. And He reminds them, go back to our passage, Isaiah 43, that He is their Savior. Notice verse 3, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Now remember, we've talked about this. Whenever you see the word "Lord" in all caps, that was a clue the King James translators gave to us. That is the Hebrew word Jehovah. If it's not in all caps, then it's one of the other Hebrew words for God, like Adonai or Elohim. But if it's all caps, what God is saying is that Jehovah is Israel's Savior. Now look on down in verse 11. We're going to look at this passage next week. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I love this verse. Because verse 10 is the theme verse of the Jehovah's Witness. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. That's where they get their name, is Isaiah 43:10. I always like to go to 43:11 when I talk to a Jehovah's Witness, because their Bible says, I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. I say, so the Bible says there's only one Savior, and it's Jehovah. And then we go to the New Testament, which says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How can Jesus Christ be the Savior when Jehovah says that He's the only Savior? Well, Jesus must be Jehovah. Amen? But He is our Savior. He is Israel's Savior. And He came, as the Bible says in Luke 19:10, as Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save. He's our Savior. He has saved us from hell. He saved us from the consequences of our sin. And because He has saved us, go back to our passage, Isaiah 43:4. He says, since thou wast precious in my sight. It's hard for us to get our head around sometimes. But the day that we got saved, we not only became a child of God, but we were justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. We became righteous through Christ. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And we became precious in the sight of God. That's amazing when you think about it. God told Israel, He says, I've loved thee with an everlasting love in Jeremiah 31:3. And Jesus says the same thing to us, that He loves us with a love that, as we read in Romans 8:35, Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes through this long list. He says, I'm persuaded that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. We are safe and secure in His hands. We are have been saved by Him, and we are precious in His sight. Now, never allow the devil to make you think that you deserved any of that. Because we didn't. The devil's good at that. Because his fall was about pride, right? And after a person's been saved a while, the devil likes to whisper in our ears sometimes and say, yeah, you're special. You're a really good Christian. God loves you a little bit more. It's not true. God doesn't love us because we're special or because we're good. He loves us because He's a God of love. And He chose us and He imparted to us the righteousness of Jesus, which is called imputation, when we got saved, and now we are His special, precious children. Praise the Lord. Just like Israel. So back to our passage, He says, fear not, for I am with thee. And He reminds them there, I will bring thy seed. So He says there's going to come a day when God is going to bring the seed of Israel from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. He says, I will bring thy sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That hasn't happened yet. That's kind of happened on a small scale as a lot of Jews have returned to what's current day Israel. But God says there's going to come a day when He's going to gather them all back together as one and instill them into the land that He promised them way back in Genesis chapter 12 and so forth. Now there was another passage. If you go to Isaiah 10, we looked at this maybe a year ago, where again He reminds Israel that no matter what they go through, there will be a remnant that will be restored, will be regathered, and instilled into their land. Notice Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. God says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. The remnant shall return, even in the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. So it's yet to come that God is going to bring the seed of Israel from afar and reinstill them back into their land. Say, what does that have to do with us? You and I have a land waiting for us. Amen? Jesus said to His disciples in that upper room, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you." And He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, it's not the promised land that He promised Israel, but it's probably better than the promised land. It's a mansion in a place called heaven. And one day we will all be there together. Just imagine what that will be like with Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so God promises them that He will restore them, that He will bring His seed from the ends of the earth, give them their land back. And notice He says in our last verse of our passage tonight, Isaiah 43, "Even everyone that is called by My name." Now Israel can claim that because if they're a descendant of one of the 12 tribes, then they are a Hebrew, they are a Jew, they are Israel. They have a lot of names, Jacob, as we saw in this passage. But you know what? The day we got saved, we became a Christian. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says God gave us a name that only He knows. We read about it in Revelation. And one day, I'm sure God will hopefully share that with us in heaven. But notice He says, "I've created him from My glory. I've formed him, yeah, I've made him." Now, He's specifically talking about Israel as a nation. You know, the Bible says that God made all things for His glory. That includes us. And the day that we get saved, that brings glory to God because another one of His creation has been rescued from the devil. And our calling, if you will, from God is from that day forward, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we looked at that last week in Isaiah 42, where God said it's all about His glory and He won't share it with anyone, but that we are here to bring Him glory. And so God said to Israel, God says to us, "Thou art Mine." Think how privileged we are to be able to claim the Creator of the universe, the Holy One, as our Heavenly Father. We are so privileged and blessed. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a mansion being prepared for us in heaven. We are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His hand and in His body. The devil can't do anything about it. We've been sealed unto the day of redemption. All because of Him and what He did on Calvary. So God says to Israel, God says to us, "Thou art Mine." And you know, we need to spend every day praising Him for that and telling others that they can be God's as well if they'll just believe the gospel and trust Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.